Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
How'd you feel about that performance?
I'm just going to tell you right now, Texan fan, you're not going to like what I have to say. You didn't like what I wrote yesterday. That's fine. Let me start with this. I think they can get better. I expect more out of this defense moving forward. Offensively, I thought they were better. I thought the offensive line played better. This is not a good team they played yesterday. You could argue it's the easiest game on their schedule. And they were all out. If their kicker didn't out-fat Aggie the fat Aggie, that's a totally different ballgame.
I think Derek Carr is turning into a really good quarterback. And obviously, it's still early in his career, but he showed some flashes last year. I know there's fans who say the Texans would have never taken him because of his last name. If that's how you run your franchise, you are the biggest knuckleheads. I hope that there was a reason they passed on Derek Carr other than the fact that he was David Carr's brother. Yeah, because if that's all that kept them from taking him, that's a huge mistake.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Producer A Radio with a Y. Do I have it memorized?
Yeah, you're good.
All right. At Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. We'll do a short segment here so we can get back on the get our clock management going again, because we're a little bit off today.
We're Coughlin-esque.
Yeah, pretty much. We're only off by a couple minutes, but it keeps growing by a couple minutes. We have not talked a lot of college football today. Obviously, we've been pretty pro-heavy, and I want to get into the whole thing with the University of Texas, but let's do that next segment, because we only have a few minutes in this one.
Okay.
I think there's a lot to dive into there. Texter says, Paul Feinbaum says that the Pac-12 is the best conference now. Agree or disagree? I don't think anybody can be making a case for being the best conference right now, including the Pac-12, because Oregon is an absolute mess. Arizona and Arizona State were supposed to be good. They're not.
Yeah.
So you can basically...
USC is up and down every week.
Yeah, the fact that they lose to Stanford and then they go in there and crush them. UCLA looks really good, but I don't know if they can sustain this. They keep losing their best players.
The thing... Here's what I'll say about... And Utah looks really good, too. Let's not count them out, but... The thing I'll say about, if you're arguing against a Pac-12 is, which one of those teams do you feel good about winning a national championship? And I don't know if there is.
Yeah, but I don't know that there's anybody that I look at and say, I feel really good about this team right now. Even Ohio State, I think Ohio State and Michigan State I probably feel the best about, knowing one of them's probably eliminating the other.
Yeah.
Even though Ohio State hasn't looked great, I think they'll get better. It's interesting. I think, tell you what. I think
they're too cute on offense. They need to give it to that running back and let him work.
You know what? I'll say it. I think they missed Tom Herman.
I could
calling
be too.
The plays. I mean, especially watching what he's done with the University of Houston and how he's taken an offense that was just completely crappy last year and turned it into a juggernaut with the same guys. I think they miss him a little bit.
Could be.
I would say, if you're just talking about NFL talent, yeah, the SEC still has the most, and it's not close. But as far as what the best conference is, and that always comes down to your, it's always, what's your criteria? Are you talking about the best teams? Are you talking about the entire conference? Do you throw out the dogs at the bottom? Do you take the top six? All of those things come into it. I still think the LSU, SEC has the most talent and will send the most guys to the NFL. Most competitive conference, though? I don't know. Is it the best conference overall? I don't think it's an easy discussion anymore. I think if you're taking Pac-12 or you're taking Big Ten or SEC, I think you can make good cases, but I think you're just doing it, and that's what Feinbaum's doing, is just to troll the SEC, because that's what he does.
Yeah, but typically he jocks the SEC.
He does both. He tries to get them jacked up. But I don't think you can tell me on a week where both Arizona schools just got destroyed and Oregon just got completely run out of its own building, you can't tell me how great the Pac-12 is.
That's difficult.
I'm sorry. And we'll talk about we'll talk more Big 12 and specifically Texas, Oklahoma State when we come back.
All right. Sorry. A little...
Don't die.
I'm going to tell you about sports manias. It's fantasy season, guys. You're all in the thick of it. And I'm going to tell you about an app that is going to help you dominate your league. It's called Sports Manias. You go to the App Store. It's a free app. Search for Sports Manias. One word. And you're going to get a leg up on your competition. It's very simple to use. It's very user-friendly, easy to navigate. And you import your fantasy team from Yahoo, CBS, or ESPN, and you'll get personalized feeds from all the fantasy football experts, including breaking news, scoring opportunities, fantasy points, and milestones. Real-time updates on your players and just your players, so you don't have to see what Fred's team is doing or Aaron's team is doing. I only care about what my team is doing. This app has helped me quite a bit. I put all my teams in there, Yahoo, CBS, and ESPN. I have leagues in each one. I've got them all in this app, and it's helped me out a lot, helped me make some lineup decisions this week, in fact. They've got a brand-new fantasy tool that gives you an edge to help dominate your league. So get on your cell or tablet right now. Go to the App Store and download Sports Manias for free right now. That's Sports Manias.
Texas TCU College Football, 11 a.m. Saturday on ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz. And speaking of Texas and TCU, mentioned TCU a little bit earlier in the show. I will drop them in my rankings tomorrow because defensively, I don't think they're a top five team. And they've lost six guys off that defense, so it's understandable. But they don't even look like the best team in the Big 12 to me right now. And I am not going to be shocked if Texas gives them a game simply because their defense is so bad.
That game opened at 18.5.
Wow.
Down to 15.5 in most places, but opened at 18.
I'd like Texas outside of two touchdowns. I just don't think TCU can stop anybody.
Yeah.
But let's talk about that Texas game because I hate the whole ref screwed us thing. I hate that.
And I'm with you. I think that more often than not, that's a crybaby. My team should have won. They didn't win.
Right, and that's what fans do. They pick out, this went against us. Well, most of the time, bad officiating, it evens out.
Right.
Because there's refs out there listening to the show, and I'm not talking about you guys because you're cool. But there are bad refs out there, okay? They're incompetent ones. They make mistakes. They're going to make more mistakes than a good one. And they let personal stuff get in the way sometimes. If a coach pisses them off, they're more willing to throw a flag. So all that said, that was one of the worst officiated games I've ever seen, and also one of the few where I can say it was directed primarily at one team.
I'm with you. I'm not. I don't know if I'm buying into. There's a lot of conspiracy theory guys.
Yeah,
I'm floating not, around like. Well, I think it's a racist crew or an anti-Texas or a pro-Oklahoma State crew. I don't know if I believe that. I just think that it was a really poorly officiated game. And I don't want to – it's not just on the refs because
no,
Texas beat themselves too with some knucklehead things. And Gerard Hurd played a mediocre game at best. Defensively, Oklahoma State played very well in the second half. But
for God's sakes, punter, look for the ball.
Yeah, and that play
that was just
the refs couldn't do anything about that. But
no,
I think the refs directly put Oklahoma State in a position to tie that game, which they did, and it was all. I feel like there should at least be some sort of. The Big 12 should look at this crew and say, all right, where is the call that you made here? What is this? I've been watching football a long time, Fred. I know you have too. Maybe you can help me out. How often is defensive holding called on a run play?
I see it maybe twice a year. Maybe.
That's a lot. I don't know. I don't know the last time I saw it.
Well, because every time I see it, I think the same thing. What the hell are they doing calling holding on a run play?
And then there was a hold call that was a phantom hold. There was a roughing the passer where the guy clearly pulled up and literally brushed into the quarterback. He didn't fall down. He took a step back. What's funny is in the same, if you watch the video of that play, you see a guy from Texas, a defensive lineman, get tackled by an offensive lineman. So there was a clear hold on the play, but instead they call the roughing the passer, and that overturned a Texas interception. Texas recovered a fumble that they said Oklahoma State recovered, even though even when you watch the video, Oklahoma State never clearly has the ball. Texas clearly recovers the fumble. There was just a lot of really bad look. And the Charlie Strong penalty where, you know, everyone's saying, oh, Charlie Strong's got to keep his cool. And he does. But Charlie Strong didn't make contact with the referee.
No.
The referee made contact with Charlie Strong and then threw a flag. Again, I'm not one to make excuses. This is a bad Texas team. But they
did shoot themselves in the foot a lot. But it did seem like every single call. The interference on the interception, too, was, okay, really? Anything that was borderline. And I don't think, yeah, no, I don't buy the conspiracy stuff. I know that that's where people like to go. But the truth is, sometimes officials will get it in their head that, you know, a coach says something that pisses them off, and they'll see a play that's close, and they'll call it. And to me, that's not conspiracy, that's incompetence, and it's, yeah, and those are the kind of things that you should be judged for as an official, just like a coach is judged. And, you know, Drunk Bevo says the refs cost Texas 2 turnovers and about 14 points and gave OSU 6 points. You could certainly make that argument. But the point is, those guys should be held to the same standard as coaches and players are. And it goes back to the same thing we talk about in the NBA all the time. Referees should be available to answer questions after the game about calls they made. Should be completely transparent. These guys should have to look at the video with you and say, what did you see there? And explain it to us. But they don't. They're infallible.
Yeah.
They're the Pope. So that's what happened. Pope comes to town. What happens? Bad calls from the refs. They all think they're infallible. Anyway, 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. Be happy to take your phone calls if you want to weigh in on that subject. Some other things from college football. Just amazing. Alabama they may wind up being favored, but right now, they've opened up as a 1-point dog at Georgia.
No, they opened up as a 2.5-point dog.
The one I saw, they opened at 1.
Oh, okay.
So that was from one of the Vegas places. But the first time in 73 games that they have not been favored when the odds opened. So, yeah, they were 1-point dogs at the Las Vegas Superbook. That's who released it at 1.
Okay. Well, this team it's been 7 years since they were
73 games.
An underdog. And I guess, I mean, rightfully so. You know, they've been the best team in the country over that course of time. But I don't know that they're necessarily, that's necessarily a bad line. Georgia to me looks like one of the best teams in the country. And I know, It's hard to buy into a Mark Richt coach team.
Yeah, because they always do something where, and it wouldn't shock me if they beat Alabama and then they drop a game to somebody that
you lose to Kentucky or Tennessee.
Yeah,
but yeah, I wasn't surprised even to see that line.
And wow, if Alabama loses, pretty much gone, right? I mean,
yeah, for sure.
That's 2 losses in conference. I don't think that's gonna. It might still get you in the championship game.
I mean, if they run the table in the SEC and then beat Georgia in the SEC championship, maybe
revenge win.
Yeah. But I would say it likely puts him out.
The latest rankings, interestingly enough, AP and coaches, Ohio State and Michigan State 1-2, which I don't know if I'd have Ohio State number 1 just based on their performance so far. And we'll do our rankings tomorrow.
I had Michigan State number 1 last week. I'll have them there again this week.
Yeah, I think I might be with you. And I'm not going to drop Ole Miss because of the Vandy game, because all the things we talked about, why we thought that would be a close game. I do have one beef when we come back.
Okay.
That has nothing to do with the rankings. Well, it does have something to do with the rankings. It has something to do with the group of 5. And College Football Talk does their little weekly group of 5 rankings. And I'm going to take serious issue with them when we come back.
Okay.
But right now, I got to tell you about Harry's. And guys, I used to hate shaving. I really did. I would always wait till I'd use mine too much, and I'd cut my face up, and I'd never want to. You know, then I'd run to the store, and it's like, what a pain in the butt. Well, once I hooked up with Harry's, man, totally changed my life, and it changed my routine. I get up and shave every morning now, and I have got great razors, and they do a great job. And I'm telling you, if you haven't tried Harry's, you get them delivered right there to your door. You don't have to worry about going to the store in the middle of the night or asking your significant other to pick some up for you. And then you don't know whether you're getting, you know, garbage disposables or she's even getting the right razors. Harry's is going to take care of you. And if you use my code Falcon, you're going to get $5 off your first purchase of a starter set. And this is great because you get the starter set and then you just order new blades and they'll set you up whenever you need them. They'll figure out when it is that you need to reorder and they'll take care of you. So if you enter my code Falcon at checkout, you'll get a Harry starter set for just $10. That's a month worth of shaving for just $10 with code Falcon at checkout. Your starter set is a month's worth of shaving and comes with a razor, three of Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades, a bottle of shaving cream, all shipped straight to your door for free. And I'll tell you what, I enjoy shaving now. I made it part of my morning routine. Say goodbye to choosing between expensive brands or cheap disposables and say hello to Harry's high-quality blades at a price you'll love. Go to harrys.com right now and enter code Falcon at checkout to get $5 off your first purchase. Get a month's worth of shaving for just $10 with code Falcon at checkout. That's harrys.com, code Falcon.
ESPN
97.5.
This, live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. A couple things from the text line. If I give y'all four guaranteed wins against the spread, can I be interviewed next weekend? Will. No, but if you get four guaranteed wins against the spread, you'll clean out your bookie.
That's true.
Good luck. Someone else says, don't overrate Michigan State. Their defense looks bad. Betting big on Purdue plus 23 this weekend.
No, I'm not necessarily saying that I would bet against you on that. But
yeah, Purdue is not a team I could ever put a dollar on.
I don't worry about how Michigan State's going to play against Purdue. I worry about how they're going to play against Ohio State, and I feel like they match up kind of favorably against Ohio State.
Right now they do after looking at both teams, but here's my beef, and it's kind of the same beef with the rankings, because College Football Talk does their best non-Power 5 schools, right?
Right.
Not going to argue with too much of this, but there's one thing that really bothers me. Number one, they've got Toledo. Two wins versus Power 5 schools.
I'm impressed.
No problem with that. Number two, they have Memphis. Again, no real problem with that either. And they went in and beat the preseason favorite in the AAC, Cincinnati. Killed their quarterback. Number three, Temple. Another one I don't have a problem
with.
They've
been all over them.
They beat Penn State. They also beat Cincinnati. Number four, Boise State. 3-1 Boise State. This is one of those where now you're letting reputation put you, because the team you lost to now has two losses. And your win, you beat Virginia. Woo.
All right.
I'm sorry, but you should not be ahead of Navy, who's still unbeaten. And you should not be ahead of the University of Houston, whose win against Louisville is more impressive than your win against Virginia. I'm sorry. Louisville's a better team than Virginia. And you've got a loss. UH doesn't. That's the homer in me. Get your ass out of there, Boise State. I'm sick of you, and I'm sick of your fake reputation.
I'm kind of with you on that. I mean,
to be fair, the AP poll and the coaches poll both have
Boise ahead of them.
No, they have Boise ahead of UH. So, I mean, it's just reputation now. But the number 26 team in the AP poll is Toledo, and they deserve that. But the number 27 team, Oregon. You got two losses. Goodbye.
Yeah.
I mean, that's right now, these teams that are unbeaten, they should be in there. Anyway, just...
Well, you and I feel differently about this. I'm an advocate of big school football, but I do kind of think there's something to, like with Oregon, the fact that Oregon is still
They're just getting votes because they're Oregon.
Yeah.
And Boise's getting votes off its reputation. And Temple, to me, teams like Duke and Temple. Duke's got 18 votes and Temple has 17. You beat Penn State handily.
Here's what I will say for Oregon, and I'm not defending that they should be where they are necessarily, but their two losses are to two of the 10 best teams in the country right now.
Well, loss number one was a good loss. The second one was not.
They got drilled. They got ducked. They did what Oregon has done to teams for years and years. And Utah did not pull off the gas pedal, and I actually kind of I commend them for it.
Yeah, because that's what Oregon always does to everybody.
Yeah, if you got a chance to if sometime 3-4 years down the road from now, Jacksonville has a team good enough to beat the Patriots 51-3.
You think they're going to? Absolutely.
No, they won't.
No, they should.
Oh, I'm saying no, yeah. That won't happen. But if they have a chance to, they should.
Yeah, but anyway, I just it's one of those things. I went to the Texas State game, and a lot of my Texas State friends talked a lot of crap to me a few years ago when they came in here and beat the Tony Levine Cougars. So I'm not going to say anything. I do kind of feel sorry for them. I've been on the wrong end of those beatdowns before. That was just a really poor effort, and their coach wound up, their defensive coordinator already quit after that. That's it's unfortunate because that team should be better than that. And give them... Yeah, you know, give them credit for going and playing. You know, they go on the road to play Florida State. You know, they go into UH. And by the way, that is a nice stadium, man. They got some of the stuff cleaned up that last year wasn't quite ready when it opened. They've got some craft beer there now. And we actually took the train down there. That stop is right there by the stadium. It's perfect. I would highly recommend, rather than trying to deal with the traffic there, which is worse now because of the train lines, park downtown and take the train. A lot of people did that. So,
Josh says, I have Eddie Lacy and James Starks down by a 10 spot. Any help on who to start? I feel Lacy's going to play. I feel like that's your best bet. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if he doesn't play a lot, you have to assume that if they get goal line possibilities, that he's going to be the guy over James Starks. So that's the guy I would go with.
Let's grab a quick phone call. John, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, sports guys.
Sports to you.
A little bit about the Texas game, and the ref was absolutely terrible in the whole game. But I still can't believe that timeout that Texas called with about a minute left in the fourth quarter when it was clear they were just trying to run out the clock by just doing a quarterback draw on 3rd and 10. I want to see what you guys thought about that call.
I thought there was a lot of crazy calls in that game. I don't know. I don't want to, bang too much. Like I said, the officials, I think they played their part, but there were bad calls by the Texas coaching staff too.
Well, that's what he's asking about the timeout there.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a questionable call, but there's a lot of things that led to them losing that game. My only point was it wasn't all on Texas. It's a rare time that I felt bad for a team because they're not a good team.
No.
And that's a game they should have won. And it kind of got taken away from them. And does it matter in the grand scheme? No, because they're not going to – it's not like that game would have turned their season around, I don't think. Hmm. But they did play well enough to win that game, and it kind of got taken away from them. But, yeah, you're right. It wasn't all – I mean, the coaches didn't help. And the players didn't help.
No. And you know what happened?
A punter letting a snap bounce off his face in – under 2 minutes in the fourth quarter, you can't have that.
In a tight game, coaches will choke, players will choke, referees will choke. It happens to everybody.
But that was more than just a referee choking in a tight spot.
But it does happen to everybody in those situations, and we put it on the players more often than not, but coaches make bad calls too. And somebody was asking, would you prefer to see a shootout like Tech TCU or a defensive struggle? I'd like to see a combination. I don't like games where the defense is so bad you can't stop the other team.
That's what we saw the other day.
Yeah, and that's, to me, that's no fun. I like shootouts, but I also like it where the defense actually makes a play to help determine the game. And, that's – basically, and when Baylor and TCU get in shootouts, you don't see that. You see 61-58 and 55-52 and things like that. So, and that's how Baylor has to win. That hasn't been how TCU has to win. But I'll be surprised if TCU doesn't lose two or three games this year. The way their defense looks, at some point it's going to happen. They're going to run into somebody that plays pretty good defense.
Yeah.
Haven't had a chance to talk Astros yet, but they did get two out of three, which...
That was the minimum of what they had to do.
Yeah, well, they needed a sweep. They basically needed one of those games against the Angels, or they had to sweep the Rangers. And as it stands now, the best thing for them is the Rangers and Angels finish the season with each other.
Yes.
So somebody's going to get knocked back. They all play donkeys for
the Rangers are 2.5 games up on the Astros, so even...
Right. But that's the thing. If the Angels wind up sweeping them or something, which is what they'll probably have to do, then the Astros would benefit that from that.
Yeah, assuming but the Astros have to win road games.
And frankly, they have to go... I think they have to go 4-2 to have a shot at the wild card.
I'm with you on that.
And then that means winning...
4-2 on the road.
Winning two series against bad teams... and by the way, the Diamondbacks just punked the Dodgers, so that's not exactly going to be easy. But, I mean, let's say Diamondbacks, Rockies. Who did they play? They play the Diamondbacks. Yeah. Never mind. Yeah, I'm confused. I'm old. But the one thing that I almost would skip, Kazmir, he's been a disaster. His first two starts here were great.
Wednesday night at Seattle.
Yeah, I almost would just say, you know what? Bring McHugh back on 3 days rest so I can – have him ready if there's a one game playoff.
Man, that's a thing. And if the Astros end up not making the playoffs, you can look at the moves that got made at the trade deadline, and you know you can look at the Rangers adding Hamels, which was a big ballsy move.
Yep,
and he's won his last 8 starts. You know, Toronto adding Tulowitzki and David Price, and they've turned into the best team in the American League, and the Astros. Kazmir and Gomez had...
And Fires. Throw Fires in there because okay. He's been okay.
But he hasn't been good enough to make up for those two.
No. And that's unfortunate because I like both those moves at the time. I thought they were good guys to go get, and it hasn't worked.
And what's actually kind of funny is the guy that the Astros traded away for at least to the Brewers, Domingo Santana, he's raking in Milwaukee. So... It's been a bad finish to the season there, and I'm not getting my hopes up because even if they go 4-2, it's still not a guarantee. But this is the worst road team in the American League, the worst. It's pretty amazing that they're even in the wild card discussion when you think about that. It just goes to show how well they've played here. But I'm not hopeful. I'll say that.
All right, guys. Tell you what, I'm embarking on a very, very cool week in terms of working out. I'm ratcheting everything up this week because I'm just trying to make sure my body can handle everything. But I'm going to go on the hardest workout program that I've done in a long time. And that would have been impossible before I started Quick Weight Loss. I would try to go to the gym. I would hurt my back. I would hurt my knees. And it was things happen. You get older. You start getting in a sedentary job. The next thing you know, you look up and you put on a bunch of weight. Happens to a lot of people. And the hardest thing is to just say, you know what, I need some help. So that's what I did with Quick Weight Loss Center. I got 50 pounds off. And now I'm in a position where I can work out again. And I can, and I'm exercising. And like I said, this week I'm going to go crazy. I'm going to see if my body can handle it. And I'm sure it can because, you know, it's amazing how fast you can get the weight off. And how you can feel better and how you can get more active and do all those things. And I know a lot of you are missing out on that because you just simply don't have the time. Well, Quick Weight Loss Center is going to help you get the weight off without exercise, no prepackaged meals. And then you can get yourself in a position like I am where you can do these things again. Right now, you can lose up to 30 pounds plus get a 30-day program for just $30. And kids join free with parent enrollment. Some conditions do apply. 15 great Houston locations for your free, no obligation consultation. Visit quickweightlosscenter.com. Or call 1-888-305-1117. That's 1-888-305-1117. Quick Weight Loss Center, 1-888-305-1117.
And
And we are back. Are you up for whatever? UFC returns to Toyota Center Saturday. Daniel Cormier battles Alexander Gustafsson. Listen this week for your chance to win UFC 192 tickets and be there to see it all go down, courtesy of Bud Light, the perfect beer for whatever happens. I still want to call him Gustafsson because I knew a girl who spelled her name like that, and that's how she pronounced it.
Yeah.
And I know it's Gustafsson, but I always want to call him Gustafsson.
That's all right.
Just so you know. I'm very careful not to do that, though. All right. Before we get to Dumbass Report,
mm-hmm.
6.5 is what the Falcons have opened at. You know that's going to go up, right? I think I'd pounce on that right now.
I'll probably make a small play at -6.5.
Because I think it's even a
The Falcons at home in general are a good bet.
Yeah.
And I think that the number is where it is because they think Foster is going to play. And maybe that's what may change the number if Foster does end up playing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I disagreed with the Bucs being 7-point dogs to the Texans.
And if their kicker can make a kick.
But you know what? At the end of the day, the Texans covered.
They did. They did.
So they proved me wrong. But if I were a betting man, I'd be betting against them this week.
All right, let's do the Dumbass Report.
All right, let's start with did you see what George Zimmerman did today?
No, I try to avoid any news about George Zimmerman at all times.
You're a smart man. George Zimmerman retweeted a picture of Trayvon Martin's corpse today.
Oh, God.
And then he started tweeting back at people who were calling black people monkeys and spewing racist rants and boasting about mocking all you trolls. He said, and he wrote with one tweet with a photo matching Obama with Virginia murderer Vester Flanagan. He said, "Gee, I sure hate offending people that have plotted and tried to kill me and my family." So he's just a. I don't know if he's a Twitter troll or it's just he's just lost his damn mind. But his Twitter handle is a Confederate flag. His Twitter avatar. And then he says, "I wonder when Twitter will take these images down, wanted for the murder of Trayvon Martin, $10,000, all the flyers."
Yeah.
But kind of a dumb move to retweet the corpse of the kid that you killed. And I'm always curious, and I'm not saying that it should happen because it shouldn't, but I'm always curious if someone's going to go out vigilante style on a dude like that.
Not wise, guys.
When in Rome, do as the Romans do, right, Fred?
Yeah, I wear togas there.
What you'll notice the Romans don't do is get naked and run around in the historic fountains about town. And that's what 6 British tourists have been charged with.
I bet alcohol was involved.
Probably. The early hours of Sunday morning, the 6 British tourists stripped naked and leapt into the Fountain of the Naiades.
Those Naiades, man. You got to watch them.
Yeah. Within minutes, the police were on the scene, swiftly charged the 6 tourists who ranged in age from 25 to 49 with indecent exposure and for jumping into the monument. They said that the fine was increased this summer following a bunch of incidents where tourists were using the fountains to cool off in a heat wave, but at least those guys weren't doing it naked. This was what's happening now. A man in McDonald's, which, by the way, don't eat McDonald's. A McDonald's customer in New Mexico was very angry when employees mistakenly put pickles on his order. Police had to be called to squash a public disturbance at the fast food restaurant after the customer began harassing employees over the mistake. Workers told police the man raised his voice and started throwing things about the restaurant. The officers issued the man a verbal warning. His name was withheld because he wasn't arrested or cited. No one was injured in the pickle incident. And finally, in Florida, a 911 call came in because a monkey was eating mail out of a neighbor's mailbox.
I do that all the time.
Lots of calls about alligators, bears, you know. Few calls about monkeys in Florida, apparently. The monkey's owner, who had a proper permit to own the animal, joined the officers in the wild chase before too much damage was done. The monkey ran away, climbed on top of a patrol car where he decided to pull molding off the car before the owner captured the monkey. Within 20 minutes, the owner was able to coax him back into his arms.
That monkey deserves a spanking.
That's right. And that's your Dumbass Report, guys.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for a Monday. I want to thank Aaron. Pretty good job.
Thanks, Aaron.
Give you a solid B+ today.
Thank you.
You doing it again tomorrow?
Yes, sir.
All right, so you got to rock the local music Tuesday. You prepared for that?
I think I can handle it.
All right, it's a big responsibility. I'm telling you, better make sure you get it right. I want to thank A.J. Hoffman. Did a great job. I want to thank Stanford Routh for joining us, talking a little NFL. I was okay today. D+.
You've had crappier days.
Yeah. Pretty much. Well, never mind. Mostly when you say crappy, I'm thinking about that thing we talked about last week. Till tomorrow, stay sportsy, bitches.
ESPN Radio Sports Beat.